Oh, it's the summer holidays and I am super excited.
Yeah, me too. It's long sunny days, it's beautiful warm evenings, so much time to relax.
That's right. What do you like to do to relax? I totally need a new hobby.
Well, sometimes, particularly in the summertime, what I like to do to relax is to go out fishing.
Fishing? Brilliant! I've literally never done that.
Well, I could teach you. It's dead easy.
Seriously? That would be totally incredible.
Well, we can go fishing right now if you like. I've learnt the words off by heart.
Okay, right now, learned the words?
It's simple. Tie the hook tight, put the bait on, cast the line out, reel a fish in. Tie the hook tight, put the bait on, cast the line out, reel a fish in. Come on, Ellen, you can join in with
me. Okay, sorry, yeah.
Tie the hook tight,
put the bait on, cast the line out,
reel a fish in.
That's great, Paul, but, you know, when can we go fishing?
What do you mean? We are fishing. Tie the hook tight, put the bait on, cast the line out. When my dad taught me to fish, he said, "Son, when you fish, do it like this. Tie the hook tight, put the bait on, cast the line out, reel a fish in." And he was right. It's so easy. I can fish anywhere. In the car, walking down the street, at my desk, in church. Tie the hook tight.
This is a little bit awkward. Paul, I don't think your dad meant that you should just repeat the words over and over again.
What do you mean?
Well, fishing isn't just repeating your dad's instructions over and over again. I don't think he meant that you should do that at all.
Oh.
He was teaching you how to fish so you could learn to actually go fishing, you know, with a fishing rod and some water maybe.
But Ty, oh. Maybe I should get some actual hooks.
Maybe.
And some real bait. And
maybe.
And some water.
Yeah, Paul. I think that would be a really good idea.
Now I think about it, that makes sense, because Jesus taught his friends to pray, and he definitely didn't mean them to just repeat his instructions over and over again.
That's right. So, over the next 5 weeks in our summer series for the all-age section, we are going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer. And basically, the Lord's Prayer was the answer when Jesus' friends said to him, "Teach us to pray." And it was a set of instructions that he gave them on the best way to do that. And we are going to read from the Bible that section now.
So this is from Matthew 6, starting at verse 5.
When you pray, don't be like those show-offs who love to stand up and pray in churches and on street corners. They do this just to look good. I can assure you that they already have their reward. When you pray, go into a room alone and close the door. Pray to your Father in private. He knows what is done in private and will reward you. When you pray, don't talk on and on as people do who don't know God. They think God likes to hear long prayers. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask.
You should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, help us to honour your name. Come and set up your kingdom so that what you want to happen does happen, like it does in heaven. Give us our food for today. Forgive us for doing wrong, as we forgive others. Keep us from being tempted, and protect us from evil. Now, we've done something slightly naughty because we've just bought brand new Bibles for the church, and then for this series, we've decided to use a different version because we thought it might be a little bit easier for our younger people to understand the words. So, sorry, we've gone with the contemporary English version, but every other Sunday, do take the Bibles from the back, and actually still do, because you can still read the passage in it, but we're using a slightly different one.
Okay, so praying then. Easy, right? It's just having a convo with God. Straightforward,
very.
One would think. Paul, what do you think?
Right, listen up, everybody. Please be quiet because I am going to pray. I hope you realise that I'm a bit of an expert in prayer. Maybe I should say a bit of an expert in the art of prayer, because it is really an art. Not everybody knows how to pray, but I do. God Almighty, victorious, gracious, and faithful, here I am once again, your humble servant, bringing my supplications before you today, supplicating earnestly, honestly, with integrity and wisdom, deeply in awe of your inestimable worth, grant your servant riches from your benevolent and restorative heart, omnipotent and omnipresent God. Amen.
Nice one. So, Paul, do you remember that reading that we read earlier from the Bible? You know, Paul, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like one of those show-offs who love to stand up and pray in churches on street corners. He said, don't do it that way. When you pray, Jesus said, go into a room alone and close the door. Pray to your Father in private. He knows what you've done.
Okay, fair enough. I'll have another go.
Right.
Lord, you know about the situation I'm in. I just can't pay the bills this week, and that's because I had to lend Bob £6 last week, and he hasn't paid me back. And then it was Astrid's birthday, and I had to buy her a present, and any old present wouldn't do it. It had to be an Abercrombie & Fitch sweatshirt in pink with flowers on the front, and that nearly emptied the bank account. And then, of course, I had to buy a bottle of Coke. Well, if I'm honest, it was two bottles of pop and a keg of fizzy cola to take to Simon's party. And I had to take my cats to the vet because they had fleas. And they were everywhere. They were even in my bed because I can't help myself from letting them sleep in my bed occasionally because they're just so cute. Anyway, the vet bill cost a fortune and now I can't pay my other bills. God, amen.
Have you quite finished? I mean, wow. Just
I could
wow.
Go on.
Yeah, I bet you could. Jesus says, when you pray, don't talk on and on like people who don't know God. They think God likes to hear long prayers. Don't be like them, Paul. Your Father knows what you need before you ask.
Does he?
Yeah, he does.
He knows what I'm going to say.
He does.
Well, Ellen, from now on, I shall not be praying.
Okay, that's a little bit concerning, considering your job, you know?
Well, I don't think I need to. If God already knows what I'm going to say before I say it, and he knows what I need before I even need it, then why bother praying?
Okay. This is scaring me a little bit. Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives.
Okay, well, maybe I won't completely give up praying.
Phew. And
actually, Ellen, what time is it?
Oh, hang on. It is, it's 11:07.
11:07? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen.
What was that?
Well, I nearly missed prayer time. Same time every week, the exact same prayer. Tick, done.
Right, Paul, I'm not sure your heart was in that. And I don't think that's exactly what Jesus had in mind when he taught his disciples that prayer either. So, as well as telling us how to pray, Jesus also told us a couple of ways not to pray.
And we've added a couple of other things from other parts of the Bible and other things that Jesus said that tell us how we shouldn't pray as well.
So, what are the don'ts?
We came up with four. Jesus said, don't show off. Your prayer doesn't need to be impressive to other people. It doesn't need to use lots of clever words.
And Jesus said, don't go on. You don't need to spend ages going round and round in circles. Also, don't forget. God might already know, but he still likes us to talk to him.
And lastly, don't pray like you're on autopilot. Just imagine for a minute, imagine if you've got a best friend, imagine if you wrote down every word that you said to your best friend today, and then tomorrow you just read through and said exactly the same words. And the day after you read through and said exactly the same words again, and the day after, and the day after, and the day for the rest of your life. That wouldn't be a conversation, would it? And actually, it wouldn't really be a friendship. So when you pray, don't just go on to autopilot and say words that you've memorized. It needs to mean more than that. It's good to be reminded of that. So, right. When I was 18 years old, I went to university. Now, for those of you who haven't got to that age yet, university is kind of like a big, big school. But the main difference between university and other school is that usually you go and live there. So when I was 18 years old, I did the slightly scary thing of moving out of the house where I'd grown up with my mum and dad and my little sister, and I moved to Manchester, which was about 200 miles away from where I lived, to go to university. And of course, it was all a bit new, so I wanted to keep in touch with my parents. And this was back in the dark ages before we had mobile phones and the internet and all that stuff. So I had to keep in touch with my parents by using an actual telephone and phoning them once a week. And I did that every week so that I could have a chat with them. And then one time, when I'd been away maybe a couple of months, I phoned home like normal. And instead of it being my mum that picked up the phone or my dad that picked up the phone, it was my little sister who I hadn't spoken to in 2 months. And so I said, hi, how are you? And she said, I'm okay. And I said, what have you been up to? What's happening at school? What's happening at home? Tell me about your friends. And she said, everything's okay. Who is this? So I said, it's Paul. Not a word of a lie. My little sister said, Paul who? My sister. When you have a conversation with someone, it is so important to know who it is you're talking to. It's so important to know who it is you're talking to. And so when Jesus taught his friends to pray, the first lesson that he taught them was who it was they were talking to when they prayed. Our Father. And that was a bit of a new idea back then, the idea that you could call God Father and talk to him in that kind of way. But when you know that the person you're talking to is your loving Father, it changes the conversation a bit, doesn't it? My dad lives just a little way up the road now, and when I visit my dad, as I do sometimes, if I want a biscuit, which I do all the time, do you think I say, oh, most benevolent Father, I humbly beseech thee, remembering your bountiful Kit Kat mercies of days gone by, grant thy child the opportunity to assuage his hunger and bless him this day with morsels most chocolatey. He would think I was off my rocker. If I did that, he's dad. I can just chat to him. And he chats back. And so I say, can I have a biscuit, please? And he probably says no, but I can talk to him like that. When the conversation is with our Heavenly Father, that's what prayer is. That's the meaning of prayer. And the Bible tells us that God is a Father who loves us and accepts us and treasures us and delights us. He thinks every single one of us is so valuable and so special. So he's not difficult to talk to. And I think sometimes when praying feels like a really difficult thing to do, it just might be because we've forgotten a little bit who it is that we're talking to. But Jesus said something else really important in this first part of the prayer. He went on to say, he said, our Father, but then he said, help us to honour your name. Now, we don't talk much about, well, we don't often use that word honour these days, but it means respecting somebody. It means treating somebody as though they're important and special. God might be our loving Father, but he still wants us to treat him with respect. He says, honour his name. Jesus said, help us to honour your name. What do you think it means? This is a question that I'm not really asking you to answer, just thinking, yeah, what do you think it means to honour God's name? Well, let me tell you one thing that it definitely doesn't mean. Let's go back to me having coffee and biscuits with my dad over in Eastleigh. My dad's name's Peter. And imagine for a moment that I was eating my chocolate biscuit and I got a bit clumsy, because I can be quite clumsy, and I knocked my coffee over and I spilt it on the carpet. Do you know what I wouldn't do? I wouldn't jump up and say, oh my Peter, I've spilt my coffee everywhere. Oh my Peter, I'm so sorry. OMP, I can't believe I've done that. I feel awful. He would think I'd gone off my rocker. Actually, he would think I was being really rude. Because that's his name. And if I started using it like a curse word, like a bad word, when something bad happens, I think he'd be really offended. And I think God feels the same, because he tells us in the Bible that we shouldn't use his name in a bad way like that. And so I think honouring God starts off by making sure we don't dishonour his name in the way that we use it. So remember who you're talking to when you pray. He's your Father who loves you more than you'll ever know, but he asks us to treat him with respect. And that's the first lesson from Jesus' school of prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. We're going to keep coming back to this prayer over the next 4 weeks and see what all the other bits mean to us as well.